So good to see everyone back out tonight. It's been a beautiful day, the beginning of another week that the Lord has given us that we might serve Him. It's good to have visitors with us this evening. Mara, it's good to have you with us this evening. We appreciate the effort, and we miss you when you aren't here, and it's really good to see you this evening. So we are continuing in the series, With All Your Heart, Loving God With All Your Heart. And I've been putting a lot of information into these, and then when I get up and start presenting it, I might have to leave something out or speed up through something. And I heard a speaker say one time, they never know what you leave out. They never know. Well, that's true if it's all written down and they don't see your notes. But when you see the PowerPoints, you know I'm leaving something out. But again, you can go back online and look at everything. And some of the points I might want to stress a little bit more, because I think this is so important. I've never heard a series on the heart, just like I never had that history and geography of the Bible. And when you start studying something, it is just not only interesting, but especially this subject, it's crucial to our salvation and leading a faithful Christian life. So we're going to start this evening with Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. One other thing too with the timing. So ever since I had the stent put in my eye, it's harder for me to see the clock back there. So I'm trying to make sure, especially like with class, I end about on the time and with the lesson. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To review the other lessons that we've had, we saw that the most important thing in life is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. Our mind consists of our thoughts, our feelings, motives, intentions, and what we put into our heart comes out in our life. We must monitor our heart daily with our cardia mobile, the Word of God, and we must have the proper diet and exercise for our physical heart and our spiritual heart. We understand what we got to do with this heart and our body. We've got to understand what we do with this spiritual heart, that we feed it and we exercise it. In the second lesson, we looked at God gave them up, and we looked at Romans chapter 1. But we saw that God created man in his own image. Well, what does that mean? That means God created man with a heart like his. A heart that loves, a heart that is long-suffering, a heart that is compassionate, a heart that is pure and clean. And then when man sinned, that changed his heart. When man gave in to temptation, it allowed his heart to be changed. With the fall, this brought a curse into the world. We saw that sin produces its corruptive effects. It's always downward, always getting worse. When we get to Romans chapter 1, we see three times where it says, God gave them up, God gave them up. They just went down, down, down. The root of sin is pride and selfishness, wanting to do what we want to do. This is opposite of the heart of God. And since the beginning of time, there's been this invisible war taking place for the possession of our hearts. God wants our heart, and Satan wants our heart. And when we wake up every morning, there's this battle that takes place. Who's going to win, God or Satan? I can tell you who's going to win. The one that we want to win. The one that we make the choice. We make the choice. And the goal of the enemy is to take the human heart captive and to keep it captive. So when we look at transformation and renewal, the heart also functions as a gate or a door that we open or close to external influences, all of which have the potential to affect our motivations, decisions, and actions. The devil desires to block the flow of God's life in us, redirecting it away from God's original purpose, and his goal is to destroy us, or at least make us where we are not effective in the church. He wants to destroy us or not make us effective, whether it's in the home, the church, at work, wherever it may be. He wants to destroy our life. So the heart is like a gate. This gate can open and it closes. When I was growing up in the country on a farm and working for other farmers, one of the things you always learned when you go on somebody's property and their gate is closed, if you go into that field, you make sure you close that gate as soon as you go through it. You never leave a gate open. You don't want something to get into that field that doesn't belong there, and if there's something in there, you don't want it to get out. That was just a given. You always leave the gate like you found it. Consequently, Satan attempts to manipulate our heart by planting bad thoughts in our mind, enticing our sinful nature to rise up in the form of pride, lust, rebellion, and so forth. The Bible uses different terms for this sinful nature: the flesh, the old man, the sinful desires. Whatever term we use for the sinful nature, the devil wants our heart to be contaminated by it. He wants to open that gate in our heart and come in and mess with our heart. Satan attacks in several areas of our life at the same time. He wants to wear us down. He wants to make our patience run out and take away our peace. And when we are in a situation like that, we are more vulnerable to sin. You know, I got sick, I lost my job, my house burned down. What else is going to happen? And Satan is wearing us down, and he's going to come in. He wants us to leave God. He wants to bring all of these things. He wants to attack us so that we leave God, because we were in his army. We left his army, and he's going to do everything possible to get us back into his camp. So these bad things come into our life. He introduces spirits of fear. What's going to happen? I'm scared to turn on the TV. You hear people talking like that all the time. They're just scared of what goes on from day to day. They have anxiety, worry, discouragement, depression. You know, when I was growing up, it was very rare to find someone that had depression. Very rare. What has changed in a generation? Something has. We might not be able to put our finger on it, but something has changed. He wants to bring sickness, other things into our life to corrupt our heart with doubt. Is there really a God? Does God love me? Why isn't God taking care of me? We start having bitterness, resentment, hate, guilt, and this conviction of failure and hopelessness. So what he's doing, he's coming in and planting, we would call them weeds. He's planting sin in our heart. He's planting weeds in our garden. And to transform and renew, we have to go in, pull these weeds out of our heart, and plant those flowers in our heart, the Word of God. And it doesn't do enough to just snip off the top of that dandelion. You know what we got to do? We got to get at the root of the problem. We got to get down at the root. And what did we say the root of the problem is? It's selfishness. It's selfishness. It's idolatry. When we want to put what we want to do ahead of what God wants us to do. And what does God want us to do that is not for our best interest? What does he want us to do that is not for our best interest? Every commandment that he has is for our good. It's for our safety. It's to help us prepare to escape Satan and that we can live with God in eternity where there's no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, all those things that we are afraid of on this earth. But Satan is the great deceiver. He's the great liar. So this is why we must make a commitment to watch closely over our heart and monitor its health. We've got to be careful about what and who we listen to. We don't accept words of doubt or fear. Don't join in with that. Don't join in with people's murmuring and complaining. That's what Satan wants us to do. And as we guard the gate of our heart, we only want to let in words that edify our faith, that bring peace and joy and encouragement. And we need to listen closely to God's word when we read it. How often do we read God's word and how do we read it? Sometimes we just open and read a verse here, a verse there. We read something to get ready for class. And what's our purpose in reading it? Are we reading it so that we can fill in the blank in a lesson book? Or are we reading it to see how God is speaking to me to help me to change my life and to worship Him? The heart enables intimate relationships. Again, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Intimacy. This is a big thing with the heart. And the Lord never requires us to do anything that He has not enabled us to do. So if that's the greatest commandment, to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, all of our mind, it's possible. So when we're commanded to love God with all of our heart, we can know that this is something that He will help us do. And we were created to have intimacy with God. God doesn't want a relationship where we are at arm's length. He wants a close, intimate relationship. How is He described in the Old Testament? Israel was His bride in the Old Testament. He was the loving husband. When we come to the New Testament, the church is described as the bride of Christ. What more intimate relationship can you think of than a husband and a wife? You can't. And that parallels the church and God. That relationship that God wants to have with us. So such a relationship with God arises from a love that is born in the heart and that surrenders completely to the beloved. A similar principle applies in our relationship with people. Every genuine relationship is born in the heart. The relationship established in love, if it begins to die, it's because that relationship is no longer in the heart. It has moved out of the heart. The heart has changed. The heart has changed just like it did back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. When we sin, our heart changes. We need to transform our heart. We need to renew our heart so that we can have that intimacy with God. Any action we take for God, praying, serving others, proclaiming the gospel, should flow from our love for Him. It should never be out of duty. It should be out of love. Why does God do things for us? Is it out of a sense of duty? Well, I made these people, now I got to do this for them. It's not out of a sense of duty. It's out of a sense of love. And since He created us in His image and we have a heart like Him, we should do things out of love. We should serve Him out of love, not out of duty. If we say, I got to do this, I got to go there, I got to read my Bible, I got to go to Bible study, we don't understand that relationship with God. The lifestyle of love was designed by the Creator. Again, if we discern a motivation in our heart other than love, merely like one that's expedient. Well, I need to do this to do something else. It indicates that some part of our heart is controlled by Satan and needs to be transformed into the likeness of God's own nature. So Satan says, I know he's going to go there Sunday evening. I can't stop him from going there. I just get him to think he's doing it out of duty. He needs to do it so he doesn't go to hell. See, is that going to be acceptable to God? God wants us to serve him out of love. If a husband tells his wife, honey, I'd like you to do this for me, and she stomps her feet and says, well, I'm going to do it, or he's not going to leave me alone. He's going to keep bugging me. Does the husband appreciate that? No. We understand that. And whatever we do, we should be thankful that we are the bride of Christ. We should be thankful that he has told us these things to do that will help strengthen our heart, make our heart stronger, make our heart bulletproof against Satan. Because if we don't, again, God wants us to love him with all of our heart. Satan will settle for 1% of our heart, because if he gets 1% of our heart, he's got us. An open heart is necessary for any meaningful relationship, whether with God or man. Have you ever been at a workplace, you had a job, and there was somebody there, and you had a good working relationship with them, and you thought, you know, I'd like to get to know Joe better, and maybe I can invite him over, I can do this, or we can go somewhere and do something together. And there's this wall that goes up. There's this wall. And you try to reach out and touch somebody, but they don't want to be touched. Why is that? That is because their heart is closed. Their heart is not open to other relationships. We'll not always experience a connection of the heart with the people we work with, or the ones we share responsibility with. When a person's heart is closed to us, our interactions with him can feel impersonal. So you invite Joe and his family to come over to your house, and he says, no, I don't want to. And then you go and you see him at work the next day, and there's just this feeling. There's something in the air. Well, he doesn't like me or something, whatever it may be. While such association may still allow us to work in the workplace, it would certainly be unhealthy in a relationship with a member of our immediate family or a longtime friend. So that situation in the workplace is one thing, and then Joe's brother, Bill, is your best friend from childhood, and you invite him to bring his family over and have supper, and no, I don't want to. And we feel, again, there's some barrier there. The heart is not open. It's not open. The heart is closed. A closed heart is a closed gate. Now, sometimes a closed heart, a closed gate is good. We want to keep the bad things out of our heart. But friends, we cannot have an intimate relationship with God unless our heart is open. We have to have our heart open to God. In these cases, the party who has closed his heart has likely built up a defense mechanism to protect himself from someone or something that he fears or that has caused him to take offense, whether that threat is real or imagined. There's no relationship without an open heart. Now, have you ever tried, you've been around somebody at work or your next door neighbor, and you've made every effort to try to get to know them, and you just can't get to know them. There's like this wall built up. they've got a closed heart. And maybe, again, maybe they had a bad relationship with somebody. They had a bad relationship with a neighbor before, and they say, I'm not going to talk to any neighbors anymore. But when it comes to God, we can't close that gate on God. We've got to keep that gate open so that he can come into our heart. Closed relationships sometimes occur in the church. Example, suppose a believer decides he'll just attend church services and then go home as soon as the service ends. He does not want to develop spiritually meaningful relationships with the other members. And we've all seen this. In a congregation, there may be somebody as soon as the last amen is said, what do we say? They're out the door and headed to their car. They don't want to build relationships. And if they don't want to build relationships with their brothers and sisters, do they have the heart of their father? Such a believer may not recognize that Christians, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Romans 12:5. The effect of this decision to close himself off from other believers is similar to the business relationship we just talked about. So some people at the workplace may talk to you at the job and that's it. When it's quitting time, they don't want to have anything to do with you. Some Christians may come on Sunday morning and sing songs and put some money in the plate and sing some more songs, take the Lord's Supper, and then when the last amen is said, they don't want to have anything to do with you. What's the problem? What's the problem? It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. When a person has built emotional barriers that stifle normal functions of his heart, leading to a closed heart, this means that others, whether they are members of his family, his church, or another group, will never truly know him or be able to develop a close relationship with him. We've got to develop relationships with each other. We've got to develop that intimate relationship with God. And if we want to win the lost, we have to be able to develop relationships with him. But some people, they don't want to get emotional at all. There are some denominations like that. The Shakers were a group that came to my mind with that. And a couple years ago, one of the churches that was supporting me down outside of Lexington in Kentucky, there's a Shaker village. And when there was religious persecution up in the Northeast, they came and settled down there. Very interesting place to go through to see this big Shaker community. Beautiful buildings, beautiful architecture, Shaker furniture. But the Shakers, if I remember correctly, they did not believe in emotionalism. And you know what would happen if you didn't believe in emotionalism? The women lived in one house, the men lived in the other. Pretty soon they died out because they didn't show and have relationships with one another. And they would believe when these feelings started coming in to their heart that the Holy Spirit would shake them and keep shaking them till they got rid of that emotionalism. And basically they just went through kind of blah, and eventually they died out. So is your own heart open or closed? Are you comfortable sharing your heart with your spouse, with other family members or friends? Are you afraid to do so because you've been emotionally wounded by someone in the past? You might think, well, I've got this problem, but I don't want to tell this person. What if he laughs at me? What if he says I'm crazy? That might have happened before, but we've got to get over it. We've got to develop relationships with each other, because who's going to help me go to heaven. It's the people right here in this room. If I've got a problem, if you've got a problem, we've all got to have open hearts, hearts like our Father, that are loving, that are pure, that are clean, that are compassionate, that we can share things with one another. Sometimes we create emotional wounds, sinful attitudes that prevent us from opening up our heart to God and others and keep us from being healed. We distort our reflection of God's heart. When we think about God's heart and how He looked on people, that's how we need to. Long-suffering, compassion, caring. God, how does He speak to us? He speaks to our heart. God has two thrones. There's the throne in heaven, and there's the throne right here, our heart. His earthly throne is found in the heart of every believer. That's where He wants to reign. He wants to reign on this throne. Remember, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." In the Old Testament, the presence of God rested above the Ark of the Covenant, which was located in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Today, where's the temple? We are the temple. We are the temple. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. God loves us so much. This is the temple that He wants to dwell on. In my heart, in your heart. We need to transform and renew our heart, because I can guarantee you, when we wake up tomorrow morning, if we wake up, Satan is going to try to muddy up, to mess up, to destroy our heart, to get us. Again, he's not going to try to get all of us, just part of us. And then that's enough for him, because he knows, I got you. With our intimate relationship with God, our heart is also the source of worship. God wants us to worship Him from our heart. Can we worship God from our heart? Can we worship God from our heart when we're singing, "There's sunshine in my soul," and I'm thinking, boy, I got to get my truck in to get it worked on tomorrow. I got to mow the yard. I got to rake the leaves. We can't do that. If we're doing that, our heart is absent. Now, I say we can't do that. We can. Because maybe we've been guilty of that. Maybe we've been singing songs. Maybe someone is leading a prayer and our mind is 1,000 miles away. When our heart is absent, consequently, we do not give God the honor and devotion He deserves. He deserves. We aren't able to enter into His presence, and then we don't experience the blessings in our life as we should. The heart generates both belief and trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So trust is another part of this transformation. Any true relationship is based on trust. The relationship with God is established by trusting Him completely. Our trust in God not only establishes our relationship with Him, but it also maintains Him in times. It maintains it in good times. It maintains it in bad times. So this is the invitation that I posted to the community this week, with an invitation to come and worship with us. Just something to get people to think. The way you react to troubles in your life is the testimony of the depth of your faith. When something bad happens, how do you react? Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. What am I going to do? Or do we say, to God be the glory? And then we get up and we go about, we go through our day, and we let others know that no matter what happens, I serve the God in heaven. No matter what happens, I'm not going to give in to sin. No matter what happens, I'm going to be true to God. The way you react to troubles in your life is a testimony of the depth of your faith. Sometimes we see something happen to somebody and they may want to run and hide. We'd say run and crawl in a hole. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, Satan wants to get us distracted off our goal. We enter into greater dimensions of faith through trust. You think about Abraham. Abraham was a giant of faith and a great example of trust. Abraham had to wait almost 25 years before God's promise of a son manifested in the now. He was a man of faith from when God called him, but he had to wait. He had to trust. And with that trust, you have to keep on. You have to persevere. And how does that tie in with transformation and renewal? That's part of the process. To change our heart, we have to trust in God and we have to persevere. We get up tomorrow morning, we go about doing what we need to do. The day after that, we keep on going. Trust enabled him to persevere and to believe in God and his word against all hope, Romans 4:18, regardless of his circumstances. Moreover, faith that is supported by trust cannot stay silent. It has to praise God and worship him. Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. If we have faith, we can't be silent about it. We've got to praise God. In the midst of circumstances, praise and worship God. Express our faith and trust as you submit to the faithful God who never changes. God never changes. There's going to be ups and downs in life. But if we are faithful to him, as we looked at this morning in the kingdom citizen, he's going to bless us because of our relationship to him. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, it never changes. So we want something to happen now. Well, it's coming. It's coming. We just need to persevere. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord, and we need to submit to God. If we do not submit, God will not commit. We always want God to do something. God, give me this, give me that, and then I'll do this for you. We've got it backwards. We submit to God, and then God will do something for us. That's the heart that he wants in us, that we submit to him. Obedience comes first, and then the blessings. We can't say, God, bless me with this and bless me with that, and then I'm going to obey you. We step out in faith, and then God will obey us. So many people don't take time to think about the state of their heart. We've got to ask ourselves and ask ourselves honestly each aspect of this question. I think this is the song that Jim has for the invitation. Is thy heart right with God? Is my heart in the right place in relation to God? In the relation to my family, the church, my occupation? Is my occupation helping me be a better Christian, or should I get into something else? My entertainment and recreation, my other activities and involvements. Why is this important? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where's our heart supposed to be? On God. God wants all of our heart. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's our top priority in life? Is it God and his kingdom? Or is it wealth, success, fame? Is it a good physical appearance? A desire for revenge? And you know, with a good physical appearance, the older you get, I think most of us here can laugh at that. Thinking back to high school with teenage years and in our 20s, and everybody wanted to look so good and stand in front of a mirror and primp and look so good. And then the years come along and go, and we change. But so many people waste so much of their time, serving God just because they want a good physical appearance. You think about how you're spending the majority of your money, the largest portion of your time. You know, you can look at your checkbook, your credit card statement, see how you're spending your money, where you're going, what you're doing. How does that relate into our priority in life and loving God? We speak from our heart and we worship God from our heart. God speaks to our heart and we speak, God speaks to our heart and we speak from our heart. We have noted that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a connection between the heart and the mouth. Therefore, if what you're saying is not in accord with God's word, if you complain, gossip, curse, speak something else that conflicts with his character, you know where the problem is. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. What's coming out of your mouth? Matthew 12:34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in our heart? What's in our heart? Have we kept that gate open or closed? Have we opened it when we should open it and let God come into our heart? Or have we opened it and let Satan come in when we should keep it closed? Have we opened it and let Satan come in and plant weeds in our heart? And weeds have taken over in our heart. So to review lesson 3, the heart is the gatekeeper of our lives. The heart enables intimate relationships. An open heart is necessary for any meaningful relationship, whether with God or man. God speaks to our heart. We worship God from our heart. The heart generates both belief and trust in God. Trust brings perseverance, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about God doing his part. I just need to be concerned about Bruce doing his part. If we do not submit, God will not commit. We speak from our heart and we worship God from our heart. We've got to be honest with each other. We've got to be honest and we've got to be honest with God, and we've got to worship God from our heart. We can't just come and open our mouth and say the words. It's got to come from our heart. Transformation and renewal comes from belief plus trusting in God. You think about Abraham and that perseverance, keeping on, and obedience. And then comes the blessing. Then comes the blessing. And God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. We are his children. He wants to give us those things that are good and beneficial for us. He's willing to do that. We're the ones that are blocking those blessings because we haven't opened up. We have this wall between us and God. God, I'll love you this much and then no more. I'll come and do this, but I'd rather be doing something else. It's out of a sense of duty. God's not going to accept that. God wants our heart. Friends, if there's anyone this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Is our heart right with God?